KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes. My co-host Jim Bartko couldn't be with us today, but our producer, Kevin Kirsten, is in studio. We've got two very exciting guests joining us today, Rana Cruz, the program coordinator in the College of Science and Mathematics. She'll join us to talk about Fresno State's Football 101 Ladies Night, which happened this week. But first, we've got Assistant Athletic Director for External Communications, Jason Clay. Jason, thanks for joining us to talk some Bulldog football today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So it's summertime. That means, you know, it's slowed down a little bit in your world, but it's about to gear up, you know, any minute now with Bulldog football. But what's going on in your neck of the woods right now?
Well, summertime's a good time for us. When you say it slows down, how it slows down is we don't have the events going on, you know, every weekend with volleyball, soccer, whatever the sport may be. So that's how it slows down. We're kind of more into our normal office hours, just like campus does their summer hours. We try to do the same. But it's a very important time for us to get ready for next year, you know, having all the meetings, coordinating everything that we need to do from a publicity marketing standpoint to an internal standpoint of facilities. And so summer's a very crucial time for us to get everything geared up. You know, it's a fun time and it's hot, but that's what it is. And we're excited to get rolling for next year. It was a good 2015-16. We're ready for 16-17.
Talking specifically about Fresno State football, that's one of your main responsibilities, is doing all the communications for football, overseeing all of that. Just over 80 days away from the season. It's kind of hard to believe it's that close. It'll be here before we know it. But what are some of the things? I know you had two big events this week to sort of engage fans. Talk about that a little bit with the ladies' night and the quarterback club golf tournament.
Yeah, last Monday we had the golf tournament and we had 35 groups out there. You know, that's just a great way for people to come out and interact with our coaching staff and our department personnel. And we have Tim DeRuiter and Jim Bartko that are each out on the hole hitting balls with everyone. We had Pat Hill, a former coach, out there that interacting. So it's supposed to be a way that we can connect with our fan base, people in the community, get out there. It's a day on the golf course and balls, having a lot of fun. So it's supposed to be a lighthearted atmosphere. That golf tournament specifically is a fundraiser for the program that benefits the quarterback club, which does a lot to help out the football program. As you look at the BDF and people, hey, I want to support this program, or I want to support that program. Those sports clubs are very crucial to each individual sport. And that's ways that fan, if they like this sport or that sport, that they can be involved and help out. And part of the involvement of being a part of those clubs is things like the golf tournament, where they can get out and interact with the coaching staff or the players, depending on what the event is. So other things that the quarterback club specifically will do, they'll cook meals for the team maybe after a spring practice or before. So that's just one ways. Then the next day, keeping along with the same line of connecting with our fan base and engaging and interacting in a non-traditional way, was our second annual Football 101 Ladies Night. This was started really driven by Kara DeRuiter as a way to engage with the female side of the community and get them involved in the sports. Maybe we have women that come out there that, you know, their husbands are huge football fans and they don't know a ton about the sport. Well, this is more geared towards a social gathering that's also informative. We want them to see. We had a couple mothers that were mothers of our current student athletes there that came out, and just they can see, you know, what the program's all about. You know, it's open doors. They can learn some X's and O's from our coaching staff, see the facilities. We had a player panel where they could ask some of our student athletes, you know, what's it like to be a student athlete? How do you balance a social life, a football life, and your academic life? There were some really good questions of some of the participants asking, you know, what do you get from your scholarship? And we had, during the player panel, we had three seniors who have already graduated. They have another year of eligibility and they're going to start work towards their master's. So that's that insight in a way, you know, like we said, connect. We want the community to feel that they're a part of this program, and some events like that are part of that. And as we move forward, kind of this month, you know, June's a good month for everyone. We got our summer football camps coming up. So the summer's a time when, you know, the student athletes are in summer school and workouts. The coaching staff has a little more time to kind of do this stuff when they're not so geared down on, you know, film breakdown, X's and O's, getting ready for that next game. So it's, you know, your cycle of a year between in season and out of season. And this is a fun time when we can really do a lot more with the community.
Yeah, the quarterback club event, that's been going on for quite a number of years now. The ladies' night, like you said, it's only the second one, but looks like it's building and gaining momentum. I know, talking to Kevin earlier, our producer, it's something that probably a lot of men out in the community would love to have that access to the program too. You know, getting to go through the tunnel or
go in the locker room. Exactly. We've heard that a lot. And I think that's something we're probably going to look into. And we don't have anything definitive to say, yes, we are going to do that, but we've got a lot of interest in that. The women's side, you know, we had a greater attendance this year for it. It's a benefit too. So that one's not a fundraiser. The golf tournament's a fundraiser. This one's not a fundraiser. It's a benefit. So we partner with Susan G. Komen. We had St. Agnes Medical Center that was our presenting sponsor that helped us out. And so we were able to make a larger donation to Susan G. Komen and breast cancer awareness and research that'll stay right here in the Valley. Sharon Johnson's their executive director at Susan G. Komen. And we pulled everyone together at the end on the 50-yard line with Tim DeRuiter. And she was explaining to the crowd how this money is going to stay right here in the Valley. And it's going to be geared towards kind of young women in like the high school age and breast cancer awareness and getting them information, because she said, you know, that night that the youngest breast cancer survivor in Fresno County is only 14 years old. And I think a lot of the women there were surprised by that. So, you know, that night's a good benefit and it grew. And going back to the male side, Tim DeRuiter has talked specifically about kind of some stuff that they did at that A&M geared towards men only, because the chance to get into the locker room and see what that's like, you know, people don't get to see that side a lot. Or, you know, a facility tour or spending time talking ball with the coaches is something that some people would find invaluable. So we're definitely going to look into that. Like I said, I can't say yes or no either way, but
yeah, I mean, I think just being able to talk ball with the coaches, like you said, that's a huge perk. A lot of people don't realize, and you know, unless they've had that behind the scenes access, what goes in just one play, how many different keys players are looking at, different gaps they have to be aware of, and the way the defense lines up determines what the offense does on all these different levels and intricacies.
And you're thinking, you have a second to think about, hey, the coverage is this way, I got to go opposite of this. Or you just ran a 40-yard post down the field, you have to run back to the line of scrimmage for the next play, see a hand signal, and then start thinking. So, you know, there's a lot of smartness that goes into football. Those guys are using their brains.
And yeah, and I think the Red Wave's known for being a pretty knowledgeable fan base, but there's some things out there where I think, you know, anyone can learn just how much detail goes into football, especially, you know, maybe more than any other sport.
Yeah, clinics like that would be very informative too. And you can gear it towards everybody. I mean, you could have, just like the ladies' night, maybe you have some women that know a little bit more and some that don't. You know, that's kind of why it's not a complete open book, because there's some things they can't share, but they are an open book where you can come in a relaxed environment and feel free to ask this question to coach. What's cover two? What are your tendencies on, you know, a third down that you like to do? In that relaxed environment, you know, make it kind of more of a social gathering than something intense or where people get nervous. So you kind of want it more relaxed. So that's what we would probably look into doing.
Absolutely. Sounds like it would have high interest just from what I've heard in the community. But moving on to Bulldog football season, we're seeing some of those preseason magazines come out, some of the preseason prognostications, so to speak. Always fun to look at, but sometimes, you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I know Fresno State's coming off a tough season last year, not one of the more indicative seasons of what Fresno State's traditionally been at 3-9. But you think the Bulldogs might catch some people off guard or catch them by surprise this year?
I do. You know, we've had a very young team that took their bumps, you know, the last year or two, getting experience. There's no substitute for experience. Now, those guys have kind of gone through the program a little bit, and this is, you know, when they need to take the step up and show that growth and development on the field. So if you go back to 2013, when we had Derek Devante, Tyler Davison, Deron Smith, all those guys who are now in the NFL, you know, those guys were all seniors then. And so as you get that young talent that has the experience now they can really start. It's not their first time out there. And then the playmaking then comes with all that experience. You know, just those reps are invaluable. And last year was tough. I think that makes our guys even hungrier. They're going through their summer workouts, just started last Monday with our new strength coach, Thomas Stallworth. And those guys are hungry to get back and show that, you know, they're better than what they were last year. So
such an important part of football too, is, you know, having that swagger, as they say, or, you know, just that confidence about what you're doing. Do you think that's going to be one of the keys, is getting that back in the program, in players who are in the program, getting them used to winning again and kind of turning the ship mentally before they do it physically?
Confidence is so huge, driven by your leaders in your senior class. And we got Tim DeRuyter's first recruiting class. We're redshirt freshmen on that 2012 team. Some guys played, like Aaron Peck was on that team and played. Jamal Ellis, Daylon Jones, you know, some of those guys that are now stepping into the roles. They were able to see Derek Carr firsthand 2 years playing with him. Devonte Adams, the confidence. They knew that they were going to get it done. They knew they were going to make this and that play. And so they've been able to, one, see them, and then they can put their own spin on it. You know, each guy is different. No leader is going to be the same. Some are vocal. Like Ed Orine last year was very local and made plays. You know, so each person's different. But I think those guys now stepping into their own, and they realize, you know, this is my time to kind of lead.
One of the guys I'm really excited to see what type of difference he can make is Aaron Peck, who you mentioned. You know, he missed last season with an injury, but he's got the experience. He played some significant reps in the 2013 season with all those other now NFL stars who you mentioned. He could make a difference in this offense, especially with all the other younger guys who got experience last year. But who are some of the other guys you see coming up through the ranks that might, you know, have a breakout season or might really kind of flash onto the scene this year?
On the defensive side of the ball, Deshaun Potts is a safety who had a very strong spring, got the physical tools. He's a smart kid. He's a guy that, you know, I look forward to watching him play. James Bailey, an outside linebacker, is athletic as can be. He can cover. He can be off the edge. He's physical. He's working on putting more weight onto his frame this offseason. He's another one of those younger guys. And then we'll see some of the other ones that are coming up. The running back is a position that our three seniors are gone from last year. And so we're going to have some new faces in there. Dontell James, he looks the part. That guy is one solid brick of all muscle. You know, it'll be fun to see him kind of in between the tackles. DeJounte O'Neal, who is a smaller in stature. He's probably smaller than Darren Sproles, but you can't tackle him. He's looking like he's going to be a heck of a playmaker, so it'll be fun to watch him develop. You know, Bryson Oglesby got injured in spring camp, but he started out looking really good. He was coming off of, you know, a redshirt year last year. So those are just some guys you don't want to talk about anyone specific. And you see the progress going, and it'll be fun to see them to get their chance to do it on game days, because game days is when it counts.
When you think about fan interest and, you know, up-tempo, high-paced scoring, a lot of fans seem to love that part of the game. DeJounte O'Neal is a guy, seeing him in spring camp, they can put him at a couple different positions, whether he's at running back or in the slot, catching passes, where you get him in the open field. And that's kind of, to me, what a spread offense wants, you know, is a guy like that who you can get in some mismatch situations and break a big play at any moment. You think fans are going to be excited to see him in the years to come? He's a young guy, too.
Very young guy. He could be like somewhat like maybe a Clifton Smith. Clifton, who was a smaller stature and just made plays, returning punts. They might look at, you know, no position is set now, but, you know, in the spring, they looked at him as possibly punt returner because he can make guys miss. You know, you got to have that, like Isaiah Burris was so quick in small spaces where he could get out of situations, and then you had the speed to, you know, take it to the house. So,
and like Clifton Smith from Edison, DeJounte O'Neal's from Bullard.
Yeah, local
guys, fans always like that as kind of the cherry on top, so. Jason Clay, thanks for joining us today on Fresno State Sports Report. Fans can go to GoBulldogs.com, check out the ticket deals, or call 278-DOGS.
Yeah.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That was Jason Clay, Fresno State's Assistant Athletic Director for External Communications. And now joining us is Ronna Cruz, a program coordinator for Fresno State's College of Science and Mathematics, talking about her experience with Fresno State's Football 101 Ladies Night. Ronna, thanks for joining us in the studio today. Not too far of a trip for you. You work just across campus. Tell us a little bit about what you do here at the university.
Well, currently I'm doing two part-time positions, and I work with a grant through Foundation with Bridges to Doctorate program. So we're helping students get through master's and continue and get their doctorate at UC Merced. And then I'm working part-time in the math department.
Okay, so you're in the College of Science and Mathematics.
Yes.
How long have you been at Fresno State?
Gosh, I've been with Fresno State since 2004, and then took a couple of years off for treatment.
You know, part of the reason we had you here today, you attended a very special event this week, the second annual Football 101 Ladies Night. Tell us a little bit about your experience at that event and just what it was like to be out there with a lot of ladies from the community supporting Bulldog football and for a great cause.
Well, it was a great outreach for the community, and I spoke briefly with Kara, and she talked about how she has been touched with her family member. Her sister was diagnosed and things. So there was a lot of passion, and it was is great to see this on campus supporting the team as well as supporting Komen Cancer Foundation. So that was nice. So, you know, I've always heard the word and been exposed to cancer because I've worked with Dr. Jason Bush on campus and his students researched breast cancer. So I've heard the word, and so it wasn't scary. And then all of a sudden when I was diagnosed, and it changes things in your life. So it's nice, and it'd be nice if like the research and, you know, everything in the community could come together, because it is a disease out there that they are trying hard to come up with a cure, but it takes a lot of money. So this was wonderful that the football team could do this, open it up to the community, to women, and expose us to what the young players do on the field, and then see, you know, what women are going through as well.
Yeah, obviously, you know, cancer is a diagnosis that a lot of people have been touched either through family or friends or themselves. Now you're doing well. Looking good. How are you feeling now about
overcoming? I feel great. I've been very fortunate. So I had a good diagnosis. It's never good to be diagnosed with cancer, but I had the best scenario that you could have. It's mind numbing, and it's hard to wrap your mind around it when they say you have cancer. And it's just like your whole world just spins. But I had a dream team of doctors in town, amazing friends, family, faith, supporting, rallying, and everything else. And then seeing community do events like this just makes it all the better. And you know that they're behind you as you're going through this.
I imagine you've learned a lot about the disease since being diagnosed. How important is it for people to be proactive in awareness and education?
Well, it's incredible. There's a lot of women that work here on campus that have cancer, and we've all met through our oncology group. And a lot of them were young, in their 20s. So what Susan Komen is going to do with the money she spoke about getting that check the other day on at the football field is they're going to educate younger people because they think, oh, I'm too young to have cancer. She was saying the youngest person in the Fresno County is 14.
Wow.
Going through cancer. Jeez. So if we can take that money and use that to educate. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand, or, you know, they think it's just older women such as myself and that type of thing. But it is striking younger women in their 20s and sometimes in their teens. So I've learned a lot about that. And there's so many different ways that cancer can attack you. Like I said, I had a great scenario. But 2 weeks after I was diagnosed, a dear friend of mine was diagnosed with a completely aggressive. So everyone has to be treated differently as well, their treatment plan that they go through.
Yeah, and when you mentioned the 14-year-old, that's specifically for breast cancer press release that the university issued. So it's pretty amazing to know, you know, how early people need to be aware and start working on how to find a cure.
Well, and that and then education, because sometimes a young woman will think, oh, it's just that's normal, not knowing, because they're like, I'm too young for this. So getting out there and educating and that type of thing is critical.
Now, for those who haven't heard, the event supported the Susan G. Komen Central Valley Foundation. $6,000 was raised, even more than last year. So I think it's just going to keep building and growing from here. Do you plan to continue to keep going to the event?
I will. I mean, it was great. I would, you know, now two other survivors came with me that I know from my oncology group. And so we're like, we've got to, you know, spread the word. So now, and we do a lot through Art of Life Foundation. Part of the Woodward Park has been donated to the Art of Life. And so we have this huge group. Absolutely, we're going to spread it. And they do a lot on Facebook so we can really build those numbers and get more people involved. I never knew about it. Since I work here, I received an email. That's how I heard about it. You know, it's just word of mouth now and getting it out there and advertising and that type of thing. Unfortunately, last year I couldn't attend because it was the week of my first surgery. And then not even knowing about it. At that point, you're like out of the loop with things. But yeah, it's a wonderful cause. I think it could really build. I don't know how the attendance last year, but this year seemed like they had a nice turnout.
Yeah, I think I saw that it was over 160 people came out for the event. So looked like a good turnout. Now, did you grow up playing sports?
I did. I was track.
Okay.
I know my family's home laughing at me because they don't think I'm athletic.
Well, so what level did you play to?
I ran track just in high school.
Okay, where at?
Turlock High.
There you go.
Bulldogs.
here in the Valley.
Yes. So,
you know, being someone who's from the Valley who works and has worked at Fresno State for several years, how does it make you feel that the university does events like this to give back to community causes?
Oh, it's amazing. And I think that it's not nice that the coach's family has been touched by this, but it's nice that it's at a level that people can express and share and, you know, do this with the community. And he's in a great situation with, you know, opening this up to ladies coming. And I honestly think husbands would enjoy it as well. My husband wanted to come because I know nothing about football. My husband played baseball with the Giants, AAA, like 30 years ago. So I can calculate an ERA, but watching all the plays on it. But anyway, it was fun. And I honestly think there'd be some men out there that would enjoy.
I'm sure a lot of men are jealous about that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
my husband's like, why are you going?
Yeah, you don't just get access to a major college football operation like that very easily. I think a lot of people don't realize how much goes into it behind the scenes. But was there anything, you know, just from your day, from your experience that really stuck out to you of, wow,
well,
I didn't know it was this involved?
The locker room's amazing. And then when they were showing us the clips of plays, those chairs that move, I don't know. I thought those were, so I was just rocking the whole time.
They're in the theater where they watch all the film. Yeah,
yeah, that's
yeah,
really
nice. Yeah,
those
chairs kind of swivel and it's like a stadium seating setup almost.
Like nicer than in the classrooms. And then they have, the locker rooms were amazing. And then we got to go outside and then go through the bulldog and onto the field and stuff. So that was pretty nice.
Through the inflatable bulldog that leads down the ramp. Talk about, for people who haven't been in the locker room, a lot of our listeners probably haven't. Describe it for them a little bit.
Well, it's very top of the line. It was well done. They have all wooden lockers and with their nameplates on there and looked like everything was kept up. And then they had little fridges or big fridges just full of chocolate milk and things. So I was like, how fun would that be?
Recovery drinks.
So things like that. And then they had where they could play video games and the whole media setup and stuff. So that's pretty cool. And then the big bulldog on the ceiling. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
The luminescent bulldog, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, but that was
pretty
cool.
Yeah, it's a really neat setup in there. And those locker rooms are relatively new, only a couple years old. And
Very nice.
A lot of people, you know, you might hear that so-and-so gave a gift here or there. And it's kind of neat to actually see behind the scenes what those gifts are doing within the program.
And the weight room.
Yeah.
They've
got the weight room, the strength and conditioning center, the Ricudi Academic Center. They've got the Meyer Sports Medicine Center. Did you get to go through all of those?
I don't know if we went through all those, but we were in the weight room and that was impressive. Very huge.
The green V's everywhere and
yeah.
Bulldog logos on all the weights. And
it was great. So it was very nice. I mean, they really did a nice layout and plan. You can tell that they put a lot of thought into it.
How many players and coaches did you get to meet?
So it was really sweet because, you know, the players interacted with us as we were eating and stuff. So it was cute because they didn't seem to feel awkward or anything. They just came and sat with us and we chit-chatted. So we met several of the players that way. And then we had our pictures taken. And then the coaches, they introduced all the coaches and then they broke us up into three groups. So we met coaches at, you know, the defensive coaches and the offensive coaches and stuff. And plenty of wine to go around too. So that was nice.
That had to be one of your favorite parts.
Oh yeah. We're sitting there drinking wine, watching plays.
Can't beat that.
I'm like, bring it on. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So it was nice being treated like that. It was fun.
Yeah, and I think you shared with us off air that, you know, you've had season tickets, your family's had season tickets to Bulldog football over the years, but you don't know all the ins and outs. So you learned a few things. Tell us about that.
Well, one of the women was, I guess in the past, the players would walk to get to the field and all the fans would stand there and clap. So they've changed that a little bit and things. And just hearing about, you know, how they have to basically do a lockdown before a game. And so the team is together and, you know, do everything together and eat and everything else. So they're all getting prepped and everything for it. So that was interesting, just a little behind the scenes. And then the students, when we had our Q&A, they were talking about, you know, how their summer is and if they're taking summer school and where they live and that type of thing. So, and it's fun to connect with the students. You know, I worked with students for years. I always like the relationships that you can build and things. So they were entertaining and cute to talk to.
Definitely. And working on, you know, more on the academic side of the university, did you gain any appreciation for just the time management and workload that the student athletes here
absolutely experience? And you know, that's what I was saying, my husband played all through college and things, so I understand, you know, trying to hold down a job, have a girlfriend, you know, football practice, studying, you know, your academics. It's a lot of juggling. I take my hat off to them because it's not easy. But, you know, they succeed, they do great and go on. So it's nice seeing when they succeed and move on.
Tell us about your husband. So did he play college baseball too? Or?
He did. He played college baseball and then was a walk-on at Candlestick Park.
Okay.
So we drove up one day and it was an open,
open tryout.
Yeah. And there were like thousands of guys and they ended up with three. And they were like, we want to send you to wherever tomorrow. And we're like, we have to go pack up his apartment. So it was a fun ride. So he did that, and then we got married after his second year in there, and then we moved all over into South America and stuff. Wow. So, yeah, so I understand that, and I can calculate ERAs, but football, I was like, no.
Whole different ballgame.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you think you'll watch football games differently this year?
Yeah, it'll be fun, because now they told us what numbers to be aware of to watch the players and stuff, and I can say, oh, I had dinner next to him, and, you know, that kind of thing. So that'll be fun.
More of a personal connection,
yeah,
so to speak.
Exactly.
Talk about, I don't know if they went into all this detail, but I think a lot of fans out there too, they don't realize on any given play just how detailed it is, how many different things each player and coach is responsible to know and watch for and adjust to, and it's just all the intricacies. Did they get into any of that?
Yeah, so it's funny because guys are very generic, right? So women's minds don't work like guys. I'm just laughing because they're saying at any given play, one in four players can get the ball.
Yeah,
I'm sure you know that. So like the one guy can get the ball this way or they can and all this stuff. And so women, we're all going, but we don't understand because we want to know direct, exact details, right? Who's going to get the ball? And so I'm cracking up going, I could never do football. And they wouldn't want a woman coach because we'd be saying, now this is what you're going to do, where it's so generic for men. And they're like, one of four people. I'm like, yeah, I don't agree with that. Because
it's a lot of options.
Yeah. And that's not how women work. So it's just kind of funny in that respect.
What's the coolest thing you've learned about the football program?
Probably the hours spent, you know, with practice and things. I mean, these young men are dedicated and they spend hours and hours and watching film and they're out on the field, you know, practicing hours a day in this heat, which can be an advantage when they play schools that come that aren't accustomed to the heat.
Hopefully so.
Yes, just the hours involved. And so I can see now, you know, with students maintaining your GPA, maintaining your practice hours and that kind of thing. So I didn't realize because when my husband played 30 years ago, you know, it wasn't that detailed or, you know, intense. It was, you know, show up and you practice kind of thing. Here it's your job.
Now, did you and your husband meet in college or how?
Yeah, we did. We did. He played for Stanislaus State. He was a starting pitcher there. And I knew nothing about baseball and we met and 33 years later, we're still together. Still averaging ERAs. No, I'm kidding.
Kevin Kirsten, our producer, yeah, I know you said that you were wishing you could go out to the Football 101 Ladies Night. Any questions you have come to mind about the night?
I know I'm a little jealous still, but because I noticed that they posted a video on YouTube and they were showing them what they got to do and sit down with Coach Keesaw and Coach Ward and they were dissecting plays. So you're not ready to grab a clipboard anytime soon with Coach Keesaw and drop a new offensive play?
It was funny. Well, mine would be like driving the young men crazy because I'd want details like, you will get the ball on this play. But I did learn the 3-4 formation, right?
Defensive formation.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah?
Three defensive linemen, four linebackers.
Yes, I think that's what they were saying. No, I won't get a clipboard. I would be the one designing their uniforms because...
So you like the uniforms, so you must enjoy this new era we're seeing in college football and at Fresno State as well, where there's all kinds of different color schemes.
Yeah, yeah. So when I've taught here on campus, it's been in the fashion merchandising department. So, of course, I'm like analyzing how everyone looks out on the field.
So what's your favorite color? The red, the blue, the black?
Well, I like that slate gray.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's real striking.
Okay.
Yeah. And the white gets dirty. The black is dark. It looks scary. So, yeah. The gray is
so you're
nice.
Going with the gray.
Yeah. And I don't think they use that all the time.
No, that's kind of a special alternate, I think, for the pants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are those ones you're talking
about? Yeah, and the helmets are the...
The chrome helmet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice look.
Almost like a mirror.
See, when we have plays like that, though, and you say you want to know who's coming, if it's the same guy every time, then we're not going to win any games because then the defense is going to know who's coming every time, right?
Yeah.
The defense is going to know. She's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever you say.
Well, Rana, we appreciate you being a part of the show today, and thanks for sharing your experience with us. We hope this event's a continued success.
Oh, yes. I hope it grows, continues to grow each year. Sharon Johnson, who's the director, accepted the check, and now, you know, she'll go back and share it with the group and that type of thing. So I think it's going to grow, and within the community, not just the cancer survivors, but it's nice that it was open to anyone, and you know, honoring and building the donations for Susan G. Komen, because that's so critical in the community. And it was nice. Kara was telling me that they had assigned something that the funds stay in the valley.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, that was great.
Supporting our people here locally. And that's,
yes,
it's kind of what Fresno State's all about, the community driven support.
Yes, so. Absolutely. Good luck in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Rana Cruz, program coordinator in Fresno State's College of Science and Mathematics and a longtime Bulldog fan. Thanks again to our guests, Rana Cruz and Jason Clay, and of course, Fresno State Sports Report producer, Kevin Kirsten. We appreciate you joining us this morning for the Sports Report, and please join us again next Saturday morning as Jim Bartko wraps up the year in sports at 8:30 a.m. on the Fresno State Sports Report. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.